Okay.
Today is the 11th March 2018. So we are having our Sunday class at Wuping Jing Sir. Now let us compose our mind. Develop the faith, sadha, vidya. Then mindfully we shall commence our puja. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Pusa. Namo Guan Si Pusa. Namo Guan Si Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majjhapama tathana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pujam. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay. You all can be seated. Then maintain some more attentiveness, then we will start. Miss Lee, the four book, the new book, where are they? That day, the four sets of new book. I think Sue don't have. Sue, these are some books I think you were not around. You can have them. Yeah. Then there is another four more coming. This was printed when you are in New Zealand. Yeah, you can get that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jin Hao is here though. Okay, we can turn to the page for reciting the opening verse, the Sada Sutta. It's the page before page 1. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. I think Queenie got only Sue don't have. Okay, we were at page 343, if I'm not wrong. Yeah. Yes, we were at page 343. Yeah? My wife told me the pronunciation for this monk's name is not Ji Chang. It should be Ji Wan. Zi Chen. That's why I have to check with you all. Zi Chen. Okay. Chen. Yeah. So, Zi Chen actually requested from the six spiritual. Excuse me. My cough just started 2 days back. Every time I got cough, it take a while. But never mind, I think I should be okay before the retreat. Zi Chen say, but I do not know when I will die. And I do not know when I will be born again. This matter of birth and death is most pressing. Please be compassionate enough to help me understand. So this part is very important. As a cultivator, if you all may recall during the early days, when the fifth patriarch requested the monks to write a poem for him to maybe go through so that whoever who has developed the cultivation well or seen the nature, the true nature or the true mind, he will pass over the patriarchship to him. So when he gave that instruction, he cautioned all the monks. He said, do not be just contented with tinted merits. You should strive on with heedfulness to cultivate the true meditation, means to realize the true mind, the true nature. Because this insistent birth and death, samsara, is full of dukkha. So every time you come, when you don't have the Dhamma, you will suffer, you will become afflicted. Then only those great beings, bodhisattvas, they have this understanding. So they can, through the vow, life after life, they vow to have that understanding. Then during the period when you come, even without the sasana, you will be able to have this teaching, this understanding. It will be with you. If you have not develop the cultivation well, and if you have not developed the understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence, and you don't know how to plant the seed of Bodhi through aspiration, through determination, affirmation, aditan, you will not be able to have this teaching life after life. So without the Dhamma, without the teaching, living being will suffer. So this particular monk was Ji Cheng, 继承知成的智，知成的知道的智哦，知成啊，知成的知庆啊，知知啊，啊知成 OK。Hopefully I don't have to pronounce it too many times. Every time I pronounce it, I pronounce wrongly. 自成的 OK. Yeah. So he is really interested in understanding how to go beyond birth and death. He said, I do not know when I will die. And I do not know when I will be born again. So have you all ever contemplated such a question as a living being?Or as a human being, yeah? Is the matter of birth and death important to you all? Yeah? Maybe you all can just try to answer this question. What is death to you? Ah, pass the mic to Ingrid. They used to say fear of the unknown, fear of death.
Good afternoon, Radio and all Kalyamitas. The death to me is something unknown to me. So like Confucius said, to live, how to say in the Mandarin word, to survive or to be alive, also we are not sure how to live.
Yeah.
Why worry about death?Something like that.
Okay.
Kongzi said something like that.
Oh, Kongzi got such thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Okay. That is one way of looking at it. Yeah. Very good.
Thanks.
Anybody else want to try? What is that? We should go through this, otherwise you cannot understand the teaching. What is that?Anybody else? Queenie, yes.
Good afternoon, Gratitude and Alkali Yuta. To me, a process everyone has to go through.
Yeah, everybody so, has to confront that.
Yeah, even if we are afraid, we still have to die too.
Okay, but the question is, what is that? Who died? What died? Okay. The body cannot function. Okay.
That means you have no breathing already.
Yeah. The life force all gone.
All gone.
The condition that supported the animation of that living being is switched off. Means the supporting condition no more. So it's just any other answers? We should discuss it. When you understand this.You will understand the teaching very well. That's why this monk is very keen to find out. He said, I don't know when I will die. I also don't know when I will be born. So the atta, the ego, is still there. So that question come about because you believe. So this question...comes about because you believe you exist. Otherwise, this question don't arise. So when you think you exist,You believe you exist, that's why, how to pronounce? 继承啊，继承，自成啊，自成啊，自成谁？ I don't know when I will die. I also don't know when I will be reborn. So the assumption is, he believes there is a he who will die, and there is a he who will be reborn. So this is self-delusion, the Buddha said. If you believe you exist, this is self-delusion. Sakkādhiti. And this will trap you. This will trap you. So a lot of people try to avoid talking about that. Especially Chinese, they got this style of tradition. When you talk about death, they tell you off. They say, "Taikalasi, taikalasi." Don't talk about death. But like Queenie said, this is a reality. Each and every living being has to go through. You have to confront them. Death is a certainty. Understand? There must be death. But the next question is, who died? Or what died? When you meditate, you can understand. You will get the solution to all this. That's why this particular monk, Ji Chen, he requested the six patriarchs to provide him with the understanding, so that he don't have to fear death, so that he don't have to worry about being born or die. So as we have studied the teaching, basically this so-called self-delusion, the atta, how does it come about? Because according to the Buddha, he said, you believe this human being is you. Understand? But this human being, after you meditate, you will come to realize it was never you. Why is it not you? Because this human being, the Buddha said, you can subdivide it into a physical body, and a mind. So this physical body is also called a physical form. That's why the Buddha said you are the form and the mind. Then the mind, the Buddha subdivide into four more aggregate: feeling, perception, sankhara or activity of mind, mental activity, volition or the thing, then vijnana or consciousness. So this last part is consciousness. So the Buddha said, these four combined with this one, you are the five aggregates of form and mind. So according to the teaching, the first noble truth of dukkha, the Buddha said, if you think this is you, the form and mind, the human being, then you will grasp and cling to this five aggregate, and the result is suffering. This is where self-delusion is. If you fail to see that these aggregates has this universal characteristics of impermanence, leading to suffering, then you will be afflicted. And because it's impermanent, you will come to understand that it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. Therefore, it cannot be you. Because dependent on condition, it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. So how can it be you? Well, these are dependent, originating phenomena, entity. Meditation is to understand this clearly. Like in the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the Buddha mentioned, very clearly. He asked the monk, the bhikkhu, he said, this aggregate of form, rupang, the physical body, is it permanent? Of course, the monk replied, yeah, impermanent. So if it's impermanent, will it lead to happiness? It won't, because you cannot want it forever young, forever don't get sick and die. It goes the way of nature. So when it goes the way of nature, you cannot accept that changing reality, the impermanent characteristics of this form, then you will be deceived. You will get into trouble. Then the Buddha continues, say, if it's impermanent and it tends towards suffering, how can you say it is me? It is I. There is no reason. Then the other aspect which I contemplated, this line I add in for you to understand, is the physical body is made of elements. Understand? No knowing. So how can it be you? Obviously it's not you. Then element goes the way of nature. It follows nature's law. So this aspect is very, very important and very, very penetrative when you understand. Then when it comes to the four aggregate of mind, feeling, perception, activity of mind, or sankhara and consciousness, when you meditate, you silence your mind, you realize they come and they go, they come and they go. Then every time feeling arise and pass away, you didn't die, understand? You didn't die. Similarly, perception also same. Mental state, sankhara, mental activity, or the consciousness that arises through every moment of sense experience, they arise and they pass away, but you didn't die. So how can feeling be you? How can perception be you? How can consciousness and activity of mind be you? If they are not you, the question is, how come they arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? That's the reason why the Buddha's teaching is so unique. Yeah. So the Buddha said, they are all condition arising entity. Depending on condition, they arise. When condition cease to be, they cease to be. So this one is within the condition world. Condition Dhamma. So this conditioned Dhamma is within the conditioned world. So if you are not deluded by this, then your mind is free. Then the other aspect that the Buddha knew was, even though this is not you, but this is subject to karma. Understand? This one is subject to karma. That's why when the Buddha recites the last of the five daily contemplation, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. He refers to this form and mind. Otherwise, you would think he contradicts himself. He teaches anatta, non-self. And yet he says, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of karma. So he doesn't contradict himself, if you understand. What he's telling you is, don't grasp and cling onto this form and mind. That this is karmically conditioned out. So when you talk about the conditioned Dhamma within the conditioned world, so this one is karmically conditioned. chemically conditioned for you to come to this world. It's true, the law of karma, your karmic nature, it will condition or form a mind to come to this world. So this one is karmically conditional, impermanent, lead to suffering. Because the moment you attach the five aggregates of grasping, dukkha arise. So this is fundamental to understanding, to liberate your mind. So when you understand this, then you don't have to worry about this form of mind dying, getting sick, or getting old. What is more important is, if it's a vehicle and a tool chemically conditioned out for you to come to this world, then use it. That's how breathing came to great awakening. The moment the fifth page, I told him, he said, this mundane mind, even though not you, you have to learn to use it. But do not be deluded by it. Do not be deceived by it. So that you don't cling on to it. But Huining, he teaches the direct teaching. He said, if you understand this is not you, then why you want to waste time on this form of mind? He says, straight away silence the mind. When you silence this fellow, when you silence the mind, silence the mundane mind, to realize the true mind. This is the essence of his teaching. When you can realize the true mind, then you become enlightened being. You become very, very beautiful beings. So when you go for retreat this year, which is another 1 week time or what? Oh, 4 days time, 5 days time. Remember, silence the mundane mind, don't do anything. Stabilize it to realize the true mind. And this one is also not you, the Buddha said. It's also anatta. But you have a nature inside. This is the unconditioned. This one is the unconditioned. This one got nothing inside that. But this one is capable of seeing things as they are and awakening. But it needs the form and mind connected to it. If you cannot meditate until you realize the true mind, then you cannot develop the wisdom, the insight. That's why the mundane mind has to finally cease. Then you realize Nibbana. But initially, the mundane mind must not arise to chatter, to verbalize, to do things. Then only there is clarity. Then only there is the direct seeing. Initially, when your mundane mind is silent, you will have the pure awareness. Pure awareness. It's just aware, nothing else. That's why it's the unconditioned. But when wisdom is connected to it, through the direct seeing, through the meditative process, then this nature will give rise to an understanding for the mind to understand, then the mind that realizes itself will cease. When the mundane mind ceases, you realize Nibbana. Do you understand? There are two parts. First, you silence your mind. When the mundane mind does not arise, you are still aware, understand? No? The pure awareness is still there. That's why you have to cultivate that. So Huining's teaching is to take you to this. So that you are in the state of awareness, sati. Then through this sati, the silent mind, the specters of enlightenment all will arise. And for you to have this stability to realize the true mind, your spiritual faculty is already very established. Otherwise you can't. Without the spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrances take over. You cannot deal with the mundane mind. So Very important is to stabilize your five spiritual faculty until it is unshakable. Then when you are on the right path, when you have this silent mind, pure awareness, to do the four foundation of mindfulness, especially daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, then you will come to realize the seven factors of enlightenment every now and then. With sati established, the moment your mind is silent without thought, you are in sati. Then it will investigate Dhamma. When it investigates Dhamma and Dhamma stand up to investigation, you will have a lot of faith. Then virya will be there. Spiritual zeal. Then when there is virya, it will train your mind to develop the stability of the silence. Then you experience piti. Then the byproduct of piti is sukha. But this is not enlightenment factor. So don't be trapped by the blissful state. You continue to relax and silence your mind until this piti becomes very, very quiet, until that whole feeling also does not affect you anymore. Then the mind goes into stillness or tranquility of mind. So this pasati is tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. So this is the silent mind. So pasati is tranquility of mind. So, tranquility or stillness of mind. So, whatever meditation you do, you have to establish this tranquility or pasati. Then when you stabilize it, you have samadhi. Samadhi is unwavering. Initially, you need samadhi, to see things as they are. But it is unwavering and collected. So that at the moment of sense experience, your mind does not stir. Because it's collected, it's unwavering. That's why it can see things as they are. That it does not use memory anymore. Because it is the direct seeing which training used to teach. The Buddha in his teaching, I don't know why the Theravada didn't get that thing. Until today, I still don't see any teaching in the Theravada that talk about this true mind. Do you realize that? They always talk about mindfulness, moment to moment. And they don't even really, most of them don't even really know what the thing is. But to establish the understanding of this one, I realize it was not recorded in the Theravada teaching. But all other essential Dhamma are there. Actually, they point towards that. Because without this sati, you can never realize the silent mind. Because the silent mind, which is awareness before the knowing, before the aggregate of mind arises. So coming back to the question of who died, nobody died, actually. But this form of mind is not you. So how can it die? The death process comes about where the separation of this consciousness. This is the consciousness part. So this mind, which is consciousness, separate from the form. So when these two separate, then there is no more condition for it to become a human being. You understand? So there are three conditions that sustain. Three conditions. That sustain. The arising. Rising of the five aggregates of form and mind. The first condition is there must be a physical body. So this physical body must be functioning. That's all the organs, the part, functioning. Otherwise, it cannot. Then number two, you must have a consciousness. So these two is already in the form of mind, understand? But the third condition comes from your karmic force. Karmic force. Or we call it the life force. Karmic or life force. That's why when the supportive karma, when the supportive karma is no more, so what happened? Death will occur. Supportive karma. This life force is your supportive karma. So when you are supposed to die, when the karmic force shut off, when your supportive karma no more, means there are causes and conditions for your karmic force to cease. Sometimes if you were to go through the Buddha and his teaching, the life of the Buddha and his teaching, when you reach the part of karma, it is described. They call it destructive karma. Understand? Destructive karma means the karmic force get destructive. It just cut off. So when it cut off for no reason, that human being will die. Because that when this karmic force cut off, there is nothing to pump your heart. Your pumping of your heart, the heartbeat, comes from this karmic force, which is the supportive karma. And this is very powerful. This one you can feel it. Especially when you are not well, you are sick. This one is very weak. Understand? Very weak. Yeah. Then this one can just go. When this one goes, your heart doesn't pump, the blood doesn't flow, what will happen to the form of mind? They say you die. But the doctor just check your heartbeat. The basis of death is no more heartbeat. God. Means no more heartbeat, no more blood to nourish your organ, no more oxygen. So everything will fail. So this one, last night I give you like a candle analogy. Understand? A candle. The candle has what? It has its wax, it has its wick, then you light the flame. Okay, so the candle exists. You have these three things are there. So this candle, the light, can be blown off any time. True or not? So it may be so long, maybe equivalent to 80 years old, but in between, if the wind come or some destructive karma come, then the flame is gone. So left with the wick and the wax. No use. There is no more candle. So likewise, sometimes when it burns, no wind, nothing, but the wax got problem, understand? Then after it die off also. Then sometimes we have the wick got problem, understand? So these three conditions, anyone gone, you are gone. That's an accident. If the physical brain is damaged, or in the case of a stroke or what, or a heart attack, the main organ that is responsible for the pumping of the blood, if that one, kena heart attack, the heart muscle will break down. Then the heartbeat will stop. So any of these three, they are the condition for the arising of this five aggregate of form and mind, the human being. So when you understand these two, then you will come to understand nothing dies. Because when consciousness separates from the form, it can happen in three ways. Karmic force shut off, no more heartbeat, then the body dead. Karmic force has to come out. The consciousness has to come out. You understand? But it cannot stay inside anymore. It cannot support the arising of consciousness. It cannot give you the feeling because this physical body is dead. You can follow. Yeah? The other way is consciousness. Yeah? Sometimes your physical body is still okay, but the conscious get out of the body. Those who do psychic one, you have to be careful. Then when this fellow go and they call it gallivanting, the consciousness, they travel everywhere. Then people don't know, they thought you die, they burn this thing. Without the body, you cannot come back. You cannot come back. Then when the life force is gone, of course, this one very easy to understand. Life force gone, physical body dead, consciousness separate. So this is for you to understand, no one die. It's just separation of consciousness from the form. So the consciousness that come out is the summation of the random of consciousness since birth until now. As a baby, pure consciousness. Then it starts to, through memory, accumulate all those things. Then your consciousness develops into more and more sophisticated consciousness. That's why we call it the bundle of memories. All of your memory trigger off that thought consciousness. And all this mold you, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, this is what that human being is all about. And that one is not you. You're that mind, which is consciousness and its content, to all the conditioning, belief system, and all those fear, phobia, or whatever, this one will come up. Then this one has attachment. This one will continue to linger around for quite a while. Not until the condition cease, it will not disperse. But this one also, not real. Yeah, it's just consciousness. It got no more physical form. It cannot do anything to you. But it has the power to make you fearful. When you got fear, like the dog, they can sense your fear. Then they can attack you through consciousness. So the important thing to understand is, what is death? Death is separation of consciousness from the physical form. Okay? Then, who died? The five aggregate of form and mind is not you. So no one died. Then, what died? Nothing died. Understand? Well, this one are elements, physical form. And this one is dependent originating consciousness. That's why upon contact, the seven universal is there. Simultaneously, the consciousness arises together with the seven universal, they call it concomitant, or mind state. When that one arises, the whole of the content of consciousness come to be. But the seven universal is always there. Then the rest that go in is from your delusion. If you don't have delusion, means you awaken, then whatever that goes in is based on understanding, wisdom. So that type of consciousness, they call it the supramundane consciousness, only the enlightened being can arise them. Even you all study Abhidhamma, you have all those divisions. Most of them is either wholesome or unwholesome. They call it akusala and kusala consciousness. So, as you develop your meditation, especially this retreat, you just silent, you will see all this, you will understand all this. And basically, this is what the Buddha wanted the monks to develop and understand. When you understand all this, then whether Theravada, Mahayana, or whatever, they are the same. It's only how they express it, how they explain it. But the only thing that I felt funny was, how come Theravada lost a lot of the essence about the true mind? They got words, sunyata, emptiness. They got this word. But seldom elaborate in the teaching of the Theravada. Do you realize? Then even Nibbana is seldom talked about. They only express in negation. Nibbana is the unconditioned. Who know what it is? That's why if you don't really meditate and develop the awakening yourself, if you don't go through the cessation of form and mind, you can never understand what the Buddha's teaching is all about. Then the Mahayana is different because they have a lot of these scrapings that come in and expanded on the teaching. Because these are the beings that have perfected themselves for a very long period of time. And the 10 perfection has made them different. It has transformed them into very, very different type of cultivator. That's the reason why the Bodhisattva way is a very, very unique way. So if you can have the understanding and you can try it out, it will be beautiful. So far, clear? Yeah, English. Pass the mic to English. I need to have a drink.
Matthew, you said Theravada don't have the terminology of true mind.
Yeah.
But they have the terminology of supramundane mind. Aren't they the same, supramundane and true mind?
The supramundane mind, to them, is a description. Because they call it the supramundane dhamma. They say when you enlighten already, you have that type of mind. Supramundane consciousness. It's mainly deal with consciousness. So mundane and supramundane, the difference is when you already enlightened, when you have the wisdom, then the consciousness of the enlightened being, the five aggregate of form and mind connected to this wisdom, will be supramundane consciousness. No, unconditioned is that true mind. That's why it doesn't describe that. Because the supramundane consciousness is still a consciousness, understand? Except the content is without the evil roots. Understand? Then there are two types. One type of arahant is still got the outflow. You understand? Outflow means what? There is still birth and death of thought. You understand? Means the mundane mind still arise and pass away. But the other one that the Bodhisattva has cultivated, then when they reach the cultivation where their mundane mind collapse, there is no more mundane mind. There is no more outflow. Then during that time, the nature shines forth. That one is completely different, completely beyond what the Theravada can understand. But you have to go through it, then you will understand what this is all about. Because even though they mention about the Abhidhamma there, mundane and supramundane consciousness. It's talking about the consciousness. But this true mind, they use the word sati. Understand? But they don't know what is sati. They thought the noting is sati. When you are attentive without thought, that is awareness. And awareness is actually sati. That's why awareness before the knowing is sati. The moment you aggregate arise, you start to interpret, create words, concepts. Then you are not seeing things as they are. Then, when that happens, you are interpreting from your brain, which is of memory, your conditioning. Then the verbalization means the word and the concept come into play. Then you got your views and opinion, like and dislike, all those things. That's why you cannot see things as they are. To see things as they are means to see the truth, to see the reality, without anything conditioning you. You start with a clean slate, like you don't know anything. Then that silent mind will insight, without the thought, and it will awaken, it will understand what this thing is. But it cannot come out and live life. It cannot create words, it cannot manifest into anything. So that is the key to understanding the essential Dhamma within the conditioned world. That's why if you read the Heart Sutta, it's also mentioned. In the conditioned world, everything exists. Birth, old age, sickness, and death exist. The Four Noble Truths exist. Noble Eightfold Path exists. Human beings exist. But in true emptiness, none of this exists. No one to be enlightened to. No attainment, nothing. Because that is the unconditioned. So the beauty about understanding life and living life is when you meditate until you can connect to your true nature, your true mind, then you will inherit your past cultivation. Then when you awaken with the cessation of form and mind, you understand both sides, the mundane and the supramundane. The conditioned world and the unconditioned world, they are subject to different rules, different laws. The mundane or conditioned arising world has its nature's law to govern life and existence. Whereas the true mind and the supramundane side, they got none of all this. They got none of all this. Where this is within the unconditioned. But when it's connected to the form and mind, this can arise as a pure awareness. That's why when Hui Ning realized the final Diamond Sutta teaching after the Fifth Patriarch explained that this is not real, but you have to learn to use this mundane mind and not be deceived by this mind, he straight away know how to conclude. How amazing is it that nothing is apart from our true nature. All of the Dhamma come from that true nature. Then from there it arises. But that one cannot come out. That one is not a being. That one is not you. But there is a nature that enlightened being can go through the cessation of form and mind and realize. Then you can say that it is the source or whatever. The oneness nature, the true nature, or original nature, Ben Sing. Okay. So this one, slowly, as you develop the understanding, you will become very different. Then that understanding will give rise to the wisdom that you need. To liberate your mind and understand all this. There is no conflict in the teaching. Okay, now we go to the sutta. We see what Hui Ning has to tell him. The master said, I have heard that your master instructs his student in the Dhamma of morality, concentration, and wisdom. And this is Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Then he said, please tell me how he defines the term. So the monk, Ji Cheng, say, great master Shen Xiu say that morality is abstaining from evil, doing evil. Wisdom is offering up all good conduct. And concentration is purifying one's own mind. So this is how Shen Xiu taught them. So the monk said this is how he explained them. But I do not know, High Master, what Dhamma of instruction you use. The master then said, if I said that I have a Dhamma to give to others, I will be lying to you. I merely use expedient ways or means to untie knots or untie bonds and falsely call that samadhi. Your master's explanation of morality, concentration, and wisdom is truly inconceivably good, but my conception of morality, concentration, and wisdom is different from his. You see, if you cultivate according to sensual, this is still at the mind level. Because he said, morality is abstain from doing evil. So, he is familiar with the traditional Theravada teaching, sensual. Abstain from evil means what? Keep your precept. Arise the four right effort. To abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen, then to prevent it from arising. Then cultivate with right effort the wholesome quality, the virtue. Then the last right effort is to refine upon it and perfect them all. So to him, morality is this way. Then wisdom is offering up all good conduct. You see, he got it the other way around. Understand? How can wisdom is offering up of good conduct? When you have wisdom, your conduct will be good. You understand? But before the wisdom comes, you cannot. That conduct is good according to you. So this way of instruction, you are cultivating at the mundane level, within the field of thought. Then the last one, he said, concentration is purifying one's own mind. Actually, based on what he wrote, he thinks the concentrated mind can give rise to wisdom. In a way, he is not wrong. Because when you have samadhi, that is not that type of thought-based concentration. The samadhi is also like a collected mind, unwavering mind. Yeah, it does not stir, it does not move. It's very stable. But it's not in concentration, understand? It's like samadhi is not concentration. So, sensual didn't quite understand. That's why this sixth patriarch, I think, in order not to embarrass sensual, he told the disciple, he said, your master's explanation of sila, samadhi, and panya is truly inconceivable. Good. But, he used the word but. My conception of sila, samadhi, and panya is different from his. Where he uses the understanding of the true mind. So now we go to the commentary. I don't have any dhamma at all, said the sixth patriarch. I will be lying to you or cheating you if I say that I did. I have no special dhamma to give to the world or to people. For each individual, I use an appropriate teaching to untie his bond. To untie bond means to break attachment. Attachment of living beings bind them up. I just untie their bond and set them free of their attachment. Fundamentally, this teaching has no name whatsoever, but it is hypothetically called samadhi. You see, these are all words, understand? So what sensei is trying to tell you is, without the true mind, if you don't meditate to go to the true mind, it cannot awaken, the direct seeing cannot happen. So he said, you can use the word samadhi, hypothetically call it samadhi. But it is all skillful means to awaken. Thus, he said, my view of samadhi, sila, samadhi, and panya is special. It is not the same as sensual. So this one creates the difference. So like he said, if he were to teach, if I said that I had a dhamma to give to others, I would be lying to you. So this sentence is very profound. The word dhamma is for the mundane, mundane people, living beings. So whatever that is shared is only the understanding part, which is wisdom, the skillful means. So dhamma are truth. Truth that's already in nature, Like the Buddha said, he re-proclaimed them. He rediscovered them. Yeah. Because these are within nature. So this part is interesting, yeah? Beautiful. Then we go on to the next part of the sutta. 自成 said, there can only be one kind of sila, samadhi, and panya. How can there be a difference? The master said, your master's morality means sila, samadhi, and panya guide those of the great vehicle. Whereas my sila, samadhi, and panya guide those of the supreme vehicle. See? The great vehicle here means the sainthood way. Whereas the supreme vehicle is the Buddha way. So there's a difference. So enlightenment is not the same as understanding. Seeing may take place slowly or quickly. So this was the answer Hui Ning gave to the monk. Yeah? 自成的 Okay, we go on to the commentary. When you become enlightened, in that moment of enlightenment, you attain. Actually, the word attain is not appropriate. It's the form of mind that realize. Yeah? Yeah. Understanding, on the other hand, is a gradual process. Thus, perception may be sudden, or gradual, fast, or slow. So this is Chen Hua's commentary. Yeah? Then we go on. Hui Ning said, listen to my explanation. It is the same as sensuous or not. The Dhamma which I speak does not depart from the self nature. See? It's always from the true mind, the self nature. For to depart from self nature in explaining the Dhamma is to speak of marks and continuously confuse the self nature. You should know that the function of the 10,000 Dhamma all arise from the self nature, and that this is the true morality, true concentration or samadhi and wisdom. Then he said, listen to my words. My ground without wrong, self nature, morality. My ground without delusion, self nature, wisdom. You see the big difference or not? Huh? You can see the big difference between the first stanza and the second stanza. I go through again. Huh? My ground without wrong, self nature's morality. My ground without delusion, self nature's wisdom. Because you are still sensitive one, thought based, he's still concerned with right and wrong, isn't it? Polish until it shines so that no dust can align, isn't it? So to him, that is morality. So when you every time polish until it shines so that no dust, means no wrong, without any wrong. That is to you morality. But the true cultivation is not this way, understand? The true cultivation is when the Sakkaya Ditti is no more, when the mind ground has rooted out self-delusion, then self-nature has wisdom. You understand? Then when you have wisdom, this form of mind connected to it is incapable of doing wrong thing. So it's not about right and wrong anymore. Then he go on further, he said, my ground without confusion, self-nature in samadhi, neither increasing nor decreasing, you are the vajra or you are the wisdom. Body comes, body go, the original samadhi. So those who understand, they can tell you all this. So this part is very, very beautiful. That's why it's very different from what sense you teach. Then we turn to the next page. Yeah? Okay, we see the commentary. When I speak the Dhamma, said the sixth patriarch, I never stray from the self nature. When you stray from the self nature, you become attached to Mark and confused the self nature. All Dhamma are composed of the substance of the self nature and respond with unlimited function. Now listen to this. Mind ground without wrong, self nature, morality. The mind is like a piece of ground. Whatever you plant in it grows there. If you plant a good cause, you reap a good result in the future. If you plant negativity, you reap negative result. When the mind ground contains no thought of greed, hatred, and delusion, or without selfishness, it is without wrong thought. And that is the morality of the self nature. Means you need wisdom, you need to root out the self delusion. Master Sun Xiu said morality is to abstain from evil. That is almost the same as the sixth patriarch's instruction to clear the mind ground of wrong thought. But Sun Xiu give morality another name, calling it abstention from evil. Abstention from evil. While the sixth patriarch spoke of morality of the mind ground, the morality of the self nature. Then the next stanza, mind ground without delusion, self nature wisdom. When your mind ground is free of delusion, the conduct you offer can be extremely good. Just as Sun Xiu instructed, but Sun Xiu merely passed out names. He did not speak of morality, concentration, and wisdom in terms of the self nature and the mind ground. Do not plant the causes of stupidity in the mind ground. That is the self nature's wisdom. Then the third one is mind ground without confusion, self nature's samadhi. When it is without confusion, the mind is purified. Sun Xiu's instruction to purify the mind did not relate samadhi to the self nature. Whereas the sixth patriarch always spoke of Dhamma from the mind ground. His Dhamma arose from self nature and did not come from outside. Sun Xiu spoke about external Dhamma and was attached to Mark. In other words, Sun Xiu spoke from outside the mind. The sixth patriarch spoke from within. So this is the great difference. Huh? Just give me a minute. Okay, this part is very useful. Eh? When Hui Ning teach, he always use the self nature to teach. Means it doesn't go to the brain, understand? It doesn't retrieve anything from the brain, which is knowledge. Whereas Sun Xiu speak from outside of self nature, means he is using knowledge. He is using his memory. After you have realized, yeah, this form of mind that is connected to the true mind will awaken and develop the wisdom. So the moment the wisdom is developed, they don't need any reference. They can stray away from their true nature or self nature. They will share the Dhamma. They will speak the Dhamma. Whereas those who are not enlightened, who still mainly based on the memory, knowledge. They will speak from outside the self nature, means they use the thinking mind, the mundane mind, then through their knowledge, they will share with you. That's why Hui Ning say it's very different. That's the reason why you heard some of the monks, they will tell you. I think Achama Boa last night wrote this book, Straight from the Heart. It's a very good book. Because he also went to the heart. Thank you. Okay, we go to the next part. Neither increasing nor decreasing, you are Vajra. The bright light of the self nature illuminates everywhere. He is miraculous, profound, and all inclusive. The self nature neither increases nor decreases. It is your very own indestructive Vajra. So this part is like the sutta, the Heart Sutta. You remember? The Mandriot. Because that self nature is complete by itself. It doesn't need anything. And nothing is apart from it. All of Dhamma come from that self nature. Because from there, everything arises. The dependent originating world, the conditioned arising world. From the first thought of ignorance, or primordial darkness, it starts to fall until it becomes so sophisticated. It becomes the form and mind, five aggregate of form and mind. And this five aggregate of form and mind, after the primordial darkness, it will develop delusion. The mind, which is a consciousness, they cling on to that one, believing that the mind knows. That's why the knower becomes the living being, traveling in space and time for eternity. So this misconception of self-delusion is the cause of humanity's downfall. Since the beginningness. So when you grasp onto this mundane mind, thinking that it's the true mind, you will have that problem. Then the upadana khandas, they lead to suffering. That's how the samsaric birth and death come about. Then because of consciousness, the phenomenal world also come about. So the phenomenal world come from that self nature, through consciousness it creates. Then the knower becomes the living being. So this five aggregate of form and mind will continue to go around, spin. Then the next part, body come, body go. This refers to the segmented form and mind. Understand? Body come, body go. You go away, you come back, and you are in samadhi all the time, standing, sitting, walking, and lying down. So the actual understanding is this segmented life, they can come and go. But the true samadhi, the original samadhi, which is within the true nature, never come, never go. It's always there. Because it was the original nature, understand? But neither being more. Original nature means what? It was not born in it. You understand? That's why they call it the source. Source is the Ben Sing, they call. Or Zi Sing, original nature. Because it was like that from the beginning. That's why it's the unborn. If it's the unborn, how can it die? That's why it's the unconditioned, it's totally different. So body come, body go, the original samadhi is always there. Then the next paragraph of the sutta is, hearing this verse, Zicheng regretted his former mistake, and he expressed his gratitude by saying this verse. Ah, see? These five hips, see? The five aggregates, are a body of illusion. And what is illusion? Ultimately, if you tend towards true suchness, the Dhamma is not yet pure. So this part is very important. The five skandhas are not real. The body too is false, merely a combination of four elements. Knowing this, you should not attach so much importance to it. By looking for good food, good clothes, a good place to live, or a good wife or husband. How do the four elements combine to form your body? The earth is the hard part of the body. The skin, the nails, bones, and muscle. Tears, mucus, saliva, and excrement are the water elements. And your body heat is the fire element. The circulatory and respiratory system are the wind. After you die, the body decomposes, and the earth element returns to earth, water returns to water, fire returns to fire, and wind returns to wind. But where did you go? You don't know, do you? You are studying the Buddha Dharma just to understand this question. The body then is nothing but a transformation of the five skandhas and the four elements. And what ultimately is this illusion? If you tend towards true suchness, the Dhamma is not pure yet. For you have not arrived at the root substance, and you have not returned to purity. Why? Because you still have the thought, I would like to go back to true suchness. If you have even one thought, you cannot penetrate the basic substance. That the basic substance functions independently and freely without obstruction. There is no grasping or rejecting, no thinking of this or that. So this is Xuanhua's explanation. Then the monk, after he heard what Huining told him, he also came to some form of realization. Then the next part of the sutta. The master approved, and he said further to Zicheng, your master's morality, samadhi, and wisdom exalt those of lesser vehicle and lesser wisdom, while my morality, sila, samadhi, and panya exalt those of the great faculties and great wisdom. If you are enlightened to your self nature, you do not set up in your mind the notion of bohi or of nibbana or of the liberation of knowledge and vision. When not a single dhamma is established in the mind, then the 10,000 mind-right dhamma can be established. To understand this principle is to achieve Buddha's body, which is also called bohi, nirvana, and the liberation of knowledge and vision as well. Those who see their own nature can establish dhamma in their mind and not establish them as they choose. They come and go freely without impediment or obstacle. They function correctly and speak appropriately, seeing all transformation body as integral part of the self nature. That is precisely the way they obtain independence, spiritual power, And the samadhi of he used the word playfulness. This is what he calls seeing the nature. So this part is to help the monk understand better. That's why the teaching based on self nature is very different. Very, very different. Then Shen Hao's commentary, he said, "You are right," said the master, "and your verse is not bad at all. You should know that my morality, sila, samadhi, and panya are not the same as Sensio. His teaching is for people of lesser wisdom." Here, the master described the people of great wisdom for whom his teaching is intended. They have awakened to the self nature, he said, and they don't even entertain the notion of Bohi, Nibbana, or the liberation of knowledge and vision. None of this Dhamma exists in them, not a single thing remains. Not one Dhamma established, then only the 10,000 Dhammas are empty. So, the three marks. Remember, under the Diamond Sutta, what are the three marks that bind the cultivator? You can recall? Mark of a self, the three marks. Mark of a self. Self cultivating. Then the second one is mark of others. The third one is mark of Dhamma. Or life, etc. The moment you awaken, you will come to know this form of mind is not you. So there is no more mark of a self cultivating to realize something. Then similarly, when you understand your form of mind is not real, you will also not attach to others, mark of others, because you can see very clearly that it just form and mind, nothing else. Why do you want to argue with form and mind? They have their own conditioning, their belief system, their views and their opinion. They are just the way they are. So when you see that clearly, then all this will not afflict you. The third one, mark of Dhamma, is very difficult to relinquish, especially the Theravada level cultivation. That's why they got a lot of Dhamma, the Theravada, knowledge of, they call knowledge and vision of the way. Like just now mentioned in the commentaries. So all these are the marks. So if you believe in all those things, then you will be caught in mark. Just now he mentioned So he said, to understand this principle is to achieve the Buddha's body, which is also called Bohi, Nibbana, and the knowledge of, liberation of knowledge and vision as well. So this part is still within the mark of Dhamma, because they still have this mark that tell them they can realize Bohi, Nirvana, or realize liberation of knowledge and vision of the truth of reality, then there is still a concept, a mark of a self-cultivating, mark of a being been enlightened. So these are the areas of cultivation that are not easy to understand, because to go beyond mark is very difficult. You have to reach the bodhisattva way cultivation. Otherwise, the mark is always there. Even until anagami, the minor conceit is still there. That mark is still there. Unless they hit arahant, no more delusion, no more ignorance, then the mind is truly free. Okay, I think it's almost 4:30. We'll stop here. Yeah, you got any question? Anybody got any question? Or anything you want me to clarify? If not, you can have your meditation. I will set the alarm for half an hour. Okay, we can off the light, then you can have your meditation. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Okay. Now we will open up for meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have.Anybody? We will pass you the mic. Just raise your hand. Nobody got to, nobody wants to report the meditation.You can also ask whatever question that you might have. Otherwise, you bring the new book, I go through one of the new books. I go through them. Okay, this book on lesson 9, lesson 9 of the 6 Patriarch, Blackmore Sutra. The introduction, I leave it to you all. You all can go and read it yourself. The preface and the acknowledgement also, you can read yourself. Okay, I will turn to page 5. Dhamma and Sutta. We shall turn to page 61. This one we will run through it quickly because we have covered it under the Harsh Sutra short notes earlier. Take out. Number 9. that one in the Heart Sutta is more accurate. Now you can go through the one which is based on Sennho's commentaries. It's slightly different, but by now you should be able to understand and develop a clear understanding of it. Okay, there's a sutta. One day the patriarch summoned his disciple together and said, "I have something to say to you. The people, for people in the world, the matter of birth and death is a great one. All day long you are seeking fields of blessings. Only you do not try to get out of the bitter sea of birth and death. If you confuse, if you are confused about your self nature, how can blessings save you?" So this message by the fifth patriarch is very important. So the earlier part that I mentioned about chasing after tinted merits, this is the section. So according to fifth patriarch, he said, for people in the world, the matter of insistent birth and death is a great one. All day long, if you only seek field of merits, means tinted merits, you do not try to get out of the bitter sea of birth and death. You are confused about your self nature. How can blessing serve you? So this one is very important. The English translation is not so precise and not so clear. Anyway, this was Xuanhua's translation at that time. If you want to have a better one, you should refer to the Heart Sutra Notes transcript book. That one is better. We will now read the commentaries. The fifth patriarch said, regardless of whether you are extremely rich or bitterly poor, you cannot avoid birth and death. Consequently, you should know how you were born. If this question of birth and death is not resolved, life is deep and confused, and you are confused with coming and going. So this is the commentary part. You do nothing but seek merits among the gods and among humans. You do not know how to seek wisdom. Thus, you sway and drift in the seas of birth and death. The Mandarin words were literally translated. That's why it becomes suffering sea, kuhai, of birth and death. It is said that one who cultivates wisdom and does not cultivate merits is like an arahant with an empty begging bowl. He is very wise, but no one makes offering to him. But if one cultivates the merits and neglects wisdom, he is just like a big elephant wearing a pearl necklace. Beneath the adornment of blessing, he is stupid and will never solve the problems of birth and death. So there is the analogy. Then the other part of the sutta is, each of us goes back and look into your own wisdom and use the prajna nature of your original mind to compose a verse. Submit it to me so that I may look at it. If you understand the great meaning, the rope and Dhamma will be passed on to you, and you will become the sixth patriarch. Hurry up, do not delay. Thinking and considering is of no use in this matter. When seeing your own nature, it is necessary to see it at the very moment of speaking. One who does that perceive as the one who went assault in the height of battle. That's why this analogy that Shen Xiu used was more of like going to battle. And the English was also not so precise and not so clear. Anyway, this was Xuan Hua's commentary. We can go through the commentaries quickly. Verse here is a Sanskrit word for gate or gata. A gata is composed of lines of uniform words to the length, though the length may vary from gata to gata. So he said, "Go quickly," said the fifth patriarch. "Go as if a fire were about to overtake you. Do not dawdle and procrastinate, saying, 'Oh, I cannot do it today, I will do it tomorrow instead.'" And then the next day saying, "Nowadays, not today either, perhaps tomorrow." Do not keep putting it off, and do not try to think about it. It is useless to use your discriminating mind. You have the deep prajna wisdom. You understand the moment you hear the word spoken. Just as one grabs a weapon and confronts the oncoming enemy, so do we perceive. You can see your own self-nature in the same immediate way. So the English translation was really not so appropriate and clear. What he wanted to mean was not expressed clearly. If you depend on English translation, when this translation is not something you should follow, we should follow the Heart Sutta Notes version. So the Heart Sutta on the English is more precise. The assembly received this order and withdrew, saying to one another, "We of the assembly do not need to clear our mind and use our intellect to compose a verse to submit to the High Master. What use would there be in this? Shen Xiu is our senior instructor and teaching transmitter. Certainly he should be the one to obtain it. It would be improper for us to compose a verse, but a waste of effort as well." Hearing this, everyone put his mind to rest and said, "Henceforth we will rely on Master Shen Xiu. Why wax ourselves?" Yeah. Okay, we will skip the next few verses because this one is the introduction part. Okay. We turn to page 12. Okay, page 12. That night in the third watch, holding a candle, he secretly wrote the verse on the wall of the south corridor to show what his mind has seen. So we straight away go to the verse on the sutta further down. The body is like a bohi tree, according to Shen Xiu. The mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. Time and again, brush it clean. It should be polished until it shines, and let no dust alight. After writing this verse, Shen Xiu returned to his room, and the others did not know what he had done. Then he thought, if the fifth patriarch see the verse tomorrow and is pleased, it will mean that I have an affinity with the Dhamma. If he say that it does not pass, it will mean that I am still confused. by heavy karmic obstacle from the past. So since you also knew about karmic obstacle, huh? So it is difficult to fathom the sage intention. In this room, he thought it over and could not sit or sleep peacefully right through to the fifth watch. So this was the verse given by Sun Siu. The patriarch already knew that Sun Siu had not yet entered the gate and see his own nature. At daybreak, the patriarch called the god artist Luton to fresco the wall of the south corridor. Suddenly he saw the verse and said to the court artist, "There is no need to paint. I'm sorry that you have been wearied by coming so far." But the Diamond Sutra said, "Whatever has marked is empty and false. Instead, leave this verse for people to recite and uphold. Those who cultivate accordingly with this verse will not fall into the evil destiny and will attain great wisdom." He then offered the disciple to light incense and bow before the verse and to recite it, thus enabling them to see their own nature. The disciple all recited it and exclaimed, "Excellent." So this is the first part of the poem, the famous Six Patriarch Platform Sutta poem, the one that Sun Siu recited and wrote on the wall. So the fifth patriarch also knew, is it? He then ordered the disciple to light incense and bow before it and recite it, thus enabling them to see their own nature. Excuse me, the cough is coming out. Okay. Okay, I will continue. So this part, the fifth patriarch knew that Sun Siu's poem lacked the understanding of the true mind, the self-nature. So he said to the disciple, "If you light incense and bow before this verse and recite it, you may see your own self-nature." So this was the hint that the fifth patriarch gave to Sun Siu and the rest. Then at the middle, at the third watch, the patriarch called Sun Siu into the hall and asked him, "Do you wrote those verses?" Sun Siu said, "Yes, in fact, Siu did it." He does not dare lay claim to the position of patriarch, but hope the High Master will be compassionate and see whether or not his disciple has a little bit of wisdom. The patriarch said, "The verse which you wrote shows that you have not yet seen your true nature or original nature, but you are still outside the gate." Means you are at the gate of enlightenment. "With such views and understanding, you may seek supreme bodhi, but in the end, will not obtain it. Supreme bodhi must be obtained at the very moment of speaking, in recognizing the original mind at all times, in every thought. You yourself will see the 10,000 Dhamma unblocked. In one truth, it's all true. And the 10,000 states of themselves, thus means suchness, as they are. The thusness of the mind is true reality. If seen in this way, it is indeed the self-nature of Supreme Bodhi. So fifth patriarch had given Sanxiu a lot of very important pointers and hints, but too bad he couldn't understand. Yet Sanxiu couldn't comprehend, and that was the reason why he couldn't come out with another verse to confirm his understanding and realization. So this hint is very important. Yeah? If you cultivate according to Sanxiu's way, it can lead to sainthood way. Yeah? But you cannot penetrate the Supreme Bodhi. That's the reason why the fifth patriarch said, with such views and understanding, you may seek Supreme Bodhi, but in the end, you will not obtain it. Supreme Bodhi must be obtained at the very moment of speaking. You can understand this particular sentence or not? At the moment of speaking. Means you must cultivate until you connect to yourself nature. Until you are always with that nature. That's why Supreme Bodhi must be obtained at the moment of speaking. In recognizing the original mind or the true mind at all times, in every thought that arises, you yourself will see that the 10,000 Dhammas are unblocked. In one truth is all truth, and the 10,000 states of themselves thus. Yeah. So, this is the hint given. Eh? The thusness of the mind is true reality. In this way, it is indeed the self nature of Supreme Bodhi. Then I will move on. Eh? The patriarch chose the same hour every Sanxiu had written the verse on the wall the night before. He secretly called him in and said, "Please, was it you who wrote the verse?" This is based on Shen Hua's commentary. Eh? "Yes, yes," Sanxiu whispered back. "Yes, in fact, I still wrote it. I do not dare seek the status of patriarch." "But your verse shows that you are still an outsider," said the fifth patriarch. "You have not yet seen your self nature. As soon as you spoke the words, know your original nature." Means you must cultivate until very stable, eh? Until your true nature is always with you. And you don't need to check from anywhere, where wisdom is there. When you understand the mind and see your own nature or true nature, you know that the nature is not produced, not destroyed. For all times, all dhammas are perfectly fused. Without the slightest bit of obstruction, there is no place where all dhammas are not identical. When you understand one truth, all truth is understood. The 10,000 dhammas are all produced from the state, which is thus unmoving. And within the mind, which is thus unmoving, true reality is to be found. Seen in this way, this state is the original nature exactly. It is the highest enlightenment. And so in response to Sanxiu, sixth patriarch, the earlier on, before he became the sixth patriarch. What was his name? Does he got a name? Hui Neng. Hui Neng. So before he became the sixth patriarch, Hui Neng, he wrote this verse. Oh, sorry, this one is Xuan Hua. Xuan Hua's verse. "Because of the way 10,000 things are born, one who obtains it penetrates the mystery oneself. Awakened, the basic substance is phantom. Bodhi does not increase or decrease." So this is Xuan Hua's response to the poem. Yeah. Then we go on. "Go and think it over for a day or two, compose another verse and bring it back to me. If you have been able to enter the gate, I will transmit the robe and Dhamma to you. Since you make obeisance and left, several days passed, but he was unable to compose a verse. The mind was agitated and confused, and his thoughts and moods were uneasy. He was as if in a dream, whether walking or sitting down. He could not be happy. So that was the state of mind of Sensio. Then we read on. 2 days later, a young boy chanting that verse passed by the threshing room. Hearing it for the first time, Hui Ning knew that the writer had not yet seen his original nature. Although he had not yet received the transmission of the teaching, he already understood its profound meaning. He asked the boy, "What verse are you reading or reciting?" Then this young boy said, "Barbarian, you know nothing," replied the boy. "The great master has said that birth and death are profound concern for people in the world. Desiring to transmit the robe and Dhamma, he ordered his disciples to compose verse and bring them to him to see. The people who has awakened to the profound meaning will inherit the robe and Dhamma. And because the six patriarchs, the people who has awakened to the profound meaning will inherit the robe and the Dhamma and become the six patriarchs. Our senior Sensio wrote this verse without mark on the wall of the southern corridor. The great master ordered everyone to recite it. For to cultivate in accordance with this verse is to avoid falling into the evil destiny and is of great merit." So this part is true. If you keep to the cultivation, you will not go down to the willful state, the evil destiny, the four willful states. Hui Ning said, "I too would like to recite it to create another affinity. Supreme One, I have been pounding rice here for 8 months and have not yet been to the front hall. I hope that the Supreme or Superior One will lead me before the verse to pay homage." The boy then led him to the verse to pay respect. Hui Ning said, "Hui Ning cannot read. Please, Superior One, read it to me." Then an official from Jiangzhou named Zhang Qiyun read it out loudly. After hearing it, Hui Ning said, "I too have a verse. Will the official please write it for me?" The official replied, "You too can write a verse? That is strange." Then Hui Ning said to the officer, "If you wish to study the Supreme Bohi, do not slight the beginner. The lowest people may have the highest wisdom. The highest people may have the least wisdom. If you slight others, you create limitless, unbound offenses." The official said, "Recite your verse and I will write it out for you. If you obtain the Dhamma, you must take me across first. Do not forget these words." Hui Ning's verse read, "Originally, Bohi has no tree. The bright mirror has no stand. Originally, there is not a single thing. Where can the dust align?" So this version is not so precise. I think the Mandarin one is very accurate. Pu ti beng wu su. So Bohi is not a tree. But the English translation up there is, originally Bohi has no tree. It's not Bohi has no tree. Bohi is not a tree. Yeah? That's why the correct word should be, originally, Bohi is not a tree. When this verse has been written, the followers all were startled, and without exception, cry out to one another, strange indeed. One can never judge a person by his appearance. How can it be that after so little time, he had become a bodhisattva in the flash of time? So these are the people who saw the poem of Huineng. So everybody was very, very surprised that somebody illiterate who has been there for only 8 months and didn't attend the lecture and all those things, and yet he can come out with such profound verse to counter what Sun Siu has written. So this particular poem by Sun Siu is very good. You should spend time trying to understand it. Then it will sharpen your wisdom. It will enable you to cultivate with the appropriate right understanding. Means forget about the mundane mind. Straight away use the true mind to realize the Dhamma. So Huineng counter Sun Siu's poem by saying, Bohi is not a tree. So Sun Siu earlier, he said, Sun Ru Pu Ti Su. Then he said, Pu Ti Peng Wu Su. So this is the countering phase. Then the bright mirror, the mirror bright understand that is not the true mind, that is the mundane mind. That's why Huineng say, Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai. The mirror bright is without a stand. Then originally there was not a single thing. So the Mandarin version is 本来无一物. Originally there was nothing. Where can the dust alight? So 则处, 何处则尘埃. So this particular poem is very useful. It teaches you to recognize the true mind, which is different from the mundane mind. That's the reason why I've been emphasizing and explaining all this over the past few years to you all. Because initially it's very difficult to tell you straight away that you have this true nature, true mind inside. Technically, you don't need to meditate. You just relax, silent. When the thought doesn't arise, you will realize the true mind. But this was the original state before the stirring, before your delusion come in to stir your mind, your wrong view. And also, because of the five mental hindrances. These mental hindrances are there because you lack understanding, you lack wisdom, you lack spiritual faculty. And when they are there, every day, without you being aware, you have been arising this heedless thinking, born of the mental hindrances. The five mental hindrances are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. If throughout the day, well, you go through life, you stir your mind, react, and create all these mental hindrances, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, make your mind restless, then your doubt, because you don't understand what is going on. Then you don't see the importance of this meditation and this teaching. then you will do the things that heedless people do. That's the reason why a lot of cultivators find it very difficult to meditate, very difficult to understand the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So most people resort to method, technique, skillful means to train the mind, to make it quiet, peaceful. But they find it so difficult. That's why they go into concentration, one-pointedness, absorption meditation, through all the various objects of meditation and other things. And the Buddha, during the early years of cultivation, was also taught by two of the greatest teachers. But he realized what they have achieved and realized through all the concentration, the jhana cannot free their mind. So because of that, the Buddha at that time, because of his past cultivation, he knew he has to change the way he cultivated. So he remembered when he was very young, during the harvesting festival, where he went into the first jhana, then he levitated. He was so calm, so peaceful. So he decided to go back and have his food. He remembered he needed a healthy body, like the time when he was a kid, he was very well fed. Then he meditated. And when he meditated, he doesn't want to go into those very strong concentration. He just relaxed and silent and developed the ability to have this calm mind, which is with the jhanic factors. The five jhanic factors, they have them all. And this is just the first jhana. Means he applied his thought, sustained his thought, then develop piti, then experience sukha, then the mind is like focus, one-pointedness. But it's still a very preliminary stage of concentration. They call it the upachara samadhi, because it's not apana samadhi yet. It's at the threshold of concentration. He hasn't gone into concentration. And when he went into that state, he was able to connect back all his past cultivation. And he was very clear about what is it that he was searching. He wants an answer to old age, sickness and death. So after the milk rice was offered by Sujata, he decided to make a very strong determination or adhitan. So according to the sutta, I think he saw some very good sign. Because when he made the adhitan, he said, give me a sign. If it's meant to be, then he will make that aspiration. And after he finished the milk rice, I think he got a, I don't know what you call it, a small bowl or what. He made that aspiration, he threw it into the river. So normally the river will take the thing down, understand? But he said, if it's meant to be, let it flow upstream, go against the stream. And really he went up, go against the stream. Then he knew that he has that capacity, he has that nature, and it will happen. So that's why he made that firm determination. He said, not until he realized enlightenment, he will never get out from the sea, underneath the Bodhi tree, even at the expense of his whole body dying or dry up and all those things. So such was the determination. Then when he came to realize the enlightenment after he connect back, he realized that all those jhana are not required. What you need is sati, mindfulness. That's why he reintroduced his teaching. Then he re-proclaimed the Four Noble Truths. Then he teach the wisdom way. Then during that period, during the 45 years of the Sasana, I believe what he has taught must be those teaching that can just awaken living being, the sainthood way. You need to have more and more of these beings so that later on there will be a big numbers of all these enlightened beings. We are the sainthood way to walk the bodhisattva way. It's just like you don't have primary school. Your secondary school will not have students. Will not have enough students. Then if secondary school less students, chances of going to university is even less. So during the early period, he taught all this. But I believe the Abhidhamma, when he was at the Tusita heaven, when he went up and teach the mother, Abhidhamma, the higher teaching, were taught. Then the close disciple, when they meet up with him, they were also taught. So the transmission of the Mahayana teaching, very likely, come about because of the teaching that he delivered at the heavens up there. I forgot whether it's Tusita heaven or Tawatinsa heaven. It's one of these. So this particular teaching, during the early days of sainthood way, is what Sun Xiu has mastered. That's why he said our body is like a Bohi tree. Bohi is wisdom. It's like a tree of wisdom. This body can give you wisdom. And he is not wrong. Because this body, within this phantom blank body, like the Buddha quoted, the four foundations of mindfulness that you need to develop the cultivation, they are all inside this phantom blank body of yours. First category, Kayanupassana, this physical body is there. Then Vedananupassana, the feeling is also within the form and mind. Then after that, Chittanupassana, means consciousness and discontent, is also inside your phantom-like body. Then finally, is Dhamma, the Nupassana. Dhamma is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. So within this phantom-like body, through consciousness, you perceive the world. That's the reason why the four foundations are all there. So since you knew this part, that's why he put it correctly. He said, our body is like a Bohi tree. Then he made the mistake in the second stanza. He said, our mind is like a mirror bright on the stand. What is that mind? What mind is that? That is the mundane mind. That's where he got wrong. Understand? That's why he couldn't penetrate the supreme vehicle. Then after that, he said, because he thought this is his true mind. He said, polish until it shines so that no dust can align. So he thought this is the cultivation. So Theravada way is the same. Within this phantom blank body, the four foundation of mindfulness is there. You cultivate. Then he mistaken the mundane mind for the true mind. He said, our mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. Means constantly away. Then whatever defilement that come, wipe it off. Abandon it. Prevent it from arising. Means polish until this mind, the mundane mind, shine. So that there is no more defilement. Then he believed. That is enlightenment. So his biggest mistake is not able to recognize the true mind, the self-nature. That's why when Sun Xiu came, his poem counter each and every stanza. Hui Neng, the sixth page here. He said, Bodhi beng wu su. He said, Bodhi is not a tree. But he didn't comment on what Sun Siu write, you know. Just Sun Siu say, our body is like a Bodhi tree, which is correct. But when he explained the real Bodhi, he said, when you want to develop wisdom, you shouldn't look for a tree, understand? But the Bodhi is beyond form and mind, beyond thought, beyond time. It's akaliko, the true wisdom, Bodhi, is beyond all this. So Bodhi is not a tree. It's not something that you can use to cultivate, to meditate. That's why Bodhi beng wu su. Then he said, that bright mirror on the stand, Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai. The bright mirror is without the stand. The true mind is nowhere supported. The true mind has no dwelling. It's just aware. So this verse is very penetrating. So this goes towards telling Sun Siu that you have not realized the true mind. That's why you cannot understand the true mind. So he tear him apart by saying, Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai. Then he said, originally your true mind cannot hold anything. There was nothing. Bèn lái wú yì wú. He chù rè chèn lái. Then where can the dust alight? Because if you don't create, there is no duality. Originally, there was nothing. Then dust is a duality that you create. Then when you don't create, with the true mind, you see things as they are, then it has got no way of sticking onto you. They said, 何处惹尘埃? How can the dust how can the dust fall into your mind? What is it? Kilesa. Kilesa, yes. So it's impossible for kilesa to stick to your mind. Because that true mind got no words, no concept. Does not hold on to anything. It's just that nature. And you must remember that nature is also not you. That nature also cannot come out and live life. That's why it's not you, understand? It cannot just come out and replace this form of mind. It cannot. Because this one is the unconditioned. And you have to realize it. The self nature need to be realized. That's why I always say, for those who see, they always see. Because they are always with their self nature. And the understanding is always from there. And the moment you awaken, that form and mind that is connected to that wisdom and that nature is no longer deluded. Anytime, in whatever place, whatever situation, there is no more doubt. You will know how to act. You will understand that all these are not real. So this is the cultivation without mark that brings you to the true nature. So this particular poem, you can understand, it will help you a lot. It will bring forth a lot of understanding for you. So with this, maybe I will end. Then if you got any question, you can ask. There is a message from Sugate, Miss Lee. It seems our sister Anne, she has to go for this surgery on the 15th of March, 11 a.m. at iHill Medical Center, Mid Valley. Heart valve surgery, it's a very dedicated surgery. But that surgeon is very good. Yeah, yeah, the same medical center that I had my angel 5 years ago. But my angel is done by Dr. Wong. Dr. Wong is expert in angel software, but his boss, that I forgot the name, right, is a very good surgeon. His boss is the bypass surgeon, expert in doing bypass, keyhole surgery. I think her is not open rib. He doesn't open up the rib. Very likely it's not, because they can do the keyhole. But it's not easy to do. That's why this one need very good doctor. Really very good doctor. She has some history behind that. Yeah, according to her, I think she told me and my wife once. Yeah, very young age. And she was very lucky to have survived until now. Then finally, I think the thing come back. So she got no choice. She need to go for it. Then because of her affinity with Sky Rimita, she is from the Sunday class, Wuping Jingse. I think Sugate know her. I also know her. So she is a very good Kairamita. So we will share some merit, transfer some merits. Then later on your own, on the 15th, we have 15 is a Thursday, radiate metta from wherever you are, towards Sister Ann Teo, also Teo, Ann Teo, A-N-N-E. Oh, sorry, A-N-N, no E. So let us compose all mind, recall to mind all the wholesome sharing and Dhamma session that we had for the last 2 to 3 hours. Then we would like to dedicate all these merits to all beings. Of course, starting with Sister Ann Teo. May this merits of wholesomeness that we have developed pave the way for causes and conditions for Kairamita Sister Ann to have a very safe, successful and good operation on the 15th of March, 11 a.m. at IHU. May she recover to good health soon. May she gain back her precious human life so that later on she can be with us to share the beautiful experience that she goes through. And at the same time, she will get to learn the Dhamma more profoundly. With what she has gone through, she will understand deeper what suffering is all about, what help is all about, what the Dhamma is all about. So that all this can be beautiful. Then we also would like to share all these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva jirang rakkantu loka sasana hitta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sattpati sitiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all have paid respect to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and the Buddha and all the worthy ones. So we will break for 2 Sundays because of our Cameron Highland retreat. So we will only have it 1 week after we come back from the retreat, which is, I think, 1st of March. 2 weeks off. Yeah.